Hey, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you're at. Give me one second to get this stream. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Good afternoon on this beautiful Sunday. I am, of course, your host for the day, Oche Yongjolof Edache. And today on the stream, we're expecting none other than Nest Niger BJJ. So I didn't want to delay. I didn't want to delay the podcast coming up because I think they're still setting up before they come. So I just wanted to give a quick introduction into a bit of what's been happening in our little pocket of mixed martial arts in Africa. And whenever they sign in, we will move on. So I was privileged to attend a training organized by GAMA. GAMA is the Global Association for Mixed Martial Arts. Global Association for Mixed Martial Arts, GAMA. And I had never heard of this organization prior to this week. And what I find interesting is that they are attempting to standardize aspects of the sports that are typically overlooked. In this case, refereeing, officiating, having an actual system that you follow when officiating or just overseeing mixed martial arts events. And it was interesting to see that the day before. Okay, so the two things I found interesting were, one, it was an amateur event, and two, it was okay. I can see UD is about to sign in. All right, so just give me a moment. I'll plug you guys in any moment from now. So yeah, it was an amateur event, and that never happens in mixed martial arts in Nigeria. You never really see amateur. It's always professional, and the reason it's always professional, is because that's obviously where you can make money. And in addition to being amateur, they used the events to train officials. So they trained referees, they trained judges, and it was refreshing to see, to be honest. I even attended the training for the judges. But anyway, guys, that's going to be an update for another time. The guys from Nest Niger, BJJ, and Rebirth Era Martial Arts have just signed in. So I'm just going to roll the intro and then I'll add everybody to the screen. All right, so just give me one moment.
Welcome to the greatest show on earth.
I'm so mean, I make medicine sick. That's bad.
This is combat,
combat
culture.
Culture.
One.
Okay. All right.
We're in now, I believe.
Let me see. I think I should be able to get everyone on this. Yeah. Okay, so can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. This is much, I think this is a lot easier to manage for now. Sorry. Say that again, please.
I'm saying we were wondering how we're going to arrange ourselves and be on this
When it's
podcast.
time to talk, we just
So we thought
yeah.
everybody should log in on their phones, but it didn't turn out to
Yeah.
be a good idea because look at what happened.
It's
Everybody
okay,
else
man. It
is on phone. Everybody
happens. Yeah. I prefer,
I'm in
to
the
be honest,
same
I
room.
prefer this. Yeah.
This is my.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll just direct the questions to both you and then and Rebirth, and then any questions that are relevant to you or him, just take them up from there and answer. So you were talking earlier about Nest Niger BJJ. Please go over that again. You explained how it's under Rebirth Era Self-Defense, and you have your instructor who is a black belt from Brazil. Just go over all of that. I really want to know about the history. Go ahead, give as much detail as you can regarding how that innovative partnership came up.
Okay, let me start from like way back, far, jiu-jitsu here in Lagos, how I decided it. how I see it, and the people, you know, we are our community, you know. So it's a really, really small community. We started out, you know, just training out of this little gym in VI, you know, with a purple belt or brown belt. Brown belt. It was like the highest level person, and just training on Sundays or before COVID. I'd say before COVID, we all kind of like, you know, started out training there. And then I started a club with one of my partners, Panda. We started the Panda's Grapplers. And, you know, that's another place we started training. Then Panda relocated to Amsterdam. And then I started Samurai Jiu-Jitsu. And then I used to train, the small community, we're about 20 guys maybe, you know. I don't think we're even more than 20 guys here in Lagos. So we now started training at Samurai Jiu-Jitsu. And then Toby here, you know, builds up Rebirth Era Self-Defense, you know, an MMA gym, fully padded walls, perfect place for jiu-jitsu, insane. So I go and get Nest Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu from Abu Dhabi to come here and set up Nest Ninja Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and bring in a high-level person so that we can all get better, you know, bring in this black belt from Brazil, Pedro, and that's how we got here. That's Nest Ninja.
That sounds beautiful to me, man. Okay, so Toby, can you possibly give me a bit of insight into your mindset regarding setting up your own MMA gym? When I saw Rebirth Era Self-Defense, I won't lie, I didn't really know what to expect until walls. We have some stuff like that here in Abuja, but yours is where I haven't seen finishing and just quality of space for people to do their grappling and their jiu-jitsu. So what was your motivation and your mindset regarding getting that set up? There must have been challenges.
That. I mean, pretty much basically was I was based out of LA for a while before. So every time I would come back to Nigeria, it was always the same challenge of not having anywhere to train. Like every time I go around, every time I'm in Lagos, there's just nowhere to train. If I'm training, I have to gather with you. And then we have to set it up sort of ad hoc. So I figured that there was a hole in the market for like an actual stock MMA gym that teaches everything that is. So, I mean, pretty much the internal design is based on your regular MMA gym that you would find anywhere else. And then we just put the whole thing together, set it up, got the mats from Yankee, which was a whole thing in and of itself, but thankfully finally received it, got some other gear, and then found good guys and set the whole thing up and started running.
How long have you guys been running for?
I'd say about 2 years now.
Well, that's quite long, man. So
not being our biggest challenge. Nobody really knows that we're there.
Yeah, that's always a challenge, man. Publicity is—it's hard. It's just hard, especially when you're. And I'm sure you still train every day, right?
ideally.
Ideally. Okay, I'll take that. That's a very diplomatic answer, but I'll take that. All right. So I'm trying to check in with everybody that is on the call. So I saw Rebirth. Please, what is Rebirth's real name? Should I just refer to him as Rebirth?
He's Kalevra. He's
okay, Kalevra. Okay.
Come through.
I need to sort out something real quick.
Okay. Oh, it's okay if it. Yeah. Oh. Hey man, how's it going? I just wanted to check in.
Hey, I'm well going.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So they say your name is Kalevra.
Yes.
And are you an instructor with them as well for jiu-jitsu?
No, not jiu-jitsu. Basically striking.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So I'm guessing that's a lot of Muay Thai, right?
A lot of Muay Thai.
And.
But basically, advanced striking.
What's your experience been like introducing high level striking? People are either boxers or MMA or MMA style striker. So I just wanted to know what your challenges are.
I would say a lot of times it's not what you even think it would be, which is probably having people to try out new stuff. It's mostly based off like people having wrong knowledge about striking. Like, I feel like one of the problems we face generally in Nigeria is having like coaches who just know, like, you know, the very archaic or like basic, the least most basic fundamentals of like fighting, and you know,
of course,
they just turn into like fighters. And then you have fighters who have dedicated like a lot of time into the sport, you know, they've trained, but they are just lacking in terms of like, they are very backdated.
Yeah.
Fight IQ is one of the you'll fight. People just know how to throw, you know, jabs, one, twos, threes.
Yeah, yeah.
Fight IQ. People know how to throw the jab, but they don't know when to throw the jab. They don't know when they should throw the jab. They don't know multiple ways to throw the jab. Do you get? So just have to take out that very like old archaic style of fighting away from the fighter. It's way harder than new knowledge into the fight.
Okay, so I'll tell you what happened yesterday. I went for an amateur mixed martial arts show in Abuja. So it was organized by Gamma. Gamma is Global Association for Mixed Martial Arts. And one of the things that you see when you hear amateur, you're thinking, okay, these are young people who are trying to rack up in experience, clean up on their fundamentals, and prepare for their professional career, right? But the first thing that I noticed was a lot of these guys that were coming to compete yesterday were like former Taekwondo guys, former karate guys, and it just led to a situation where the striking wasn't even MMA striking. The striking was just a Taekwondo guy striking a boxing guy. And then I'm just watching, and I'm just the number of guys that could actually do high level like MMA striking or just regular acceptable MMA striking. Like I had to wait like four fights in. So I can totally understand what you say when you're saying taking out old unhealthy habits, like bad habits, is harder than teaching someone from afresh. It's true.
It can be very. What makes a good coach is also knowing how to, like, you know, get through things like that with fighters and just.
Of course. Okay, so men's side, I'm guessing you guys have fighters under you. Anybody that feels ready. I'm sure you have fighters coming to train because your facility is nice. So how do you go about even selecting people in the first place?
So selecting a good fighter, is that what you're asking about? How do you select like good fighters?
No. I mean, in your gym, I'm guessing you guys have fighters that are under your stable now, people that train under you, that you corner during their fights. So what I'm asking now is, how has that process been? How have you guys found any finding guys and training them? And do you corner them? How's it been like in competition as well?
So far, I feel like in terms of competitions, we've had more done on the jiu-jitsu side of the gym. We have people who come in and, you know, want to go to competitions, want to compete. But a lot of times, you know, people say it, but it's different when you have to do it. And a lot of times it's difficult to get people who can actually commit to the level of training they have to go to compete and, you know, meet up to the standard the gym wants its athletes to perform at. Being honest, they are fighters, and I feel like in the nearest future we'll have people who will be able to represent properly. But for now, we have people who have, you know, the zeal and everything, but we still lack like people who we know that are in for it to a point where we know that we can say, okay, we need you to represent us at any level. Do you get?
The commitment to the sport is one thing. Another thing I even wanted to know about is even competitions. How do you guys even have access to competitions over there? Do you just organize your own in-house, or is it a situation where you guys, are there competitions happening in Lagos frequently for MMA or jiu-jitsu?
Okay, so I'll pass the phone to UD to handle this question, because he's in a position to.
Please. Thank you.
Yeah. Is this go back to that place. It's like
blocking you, man. Yo, dude, it's good to see you, man. It always feels like whenever I see you, we're always going in opposite directions. Or
Yeah. Because
every single time.
You're like doing commentary on those AKO shows. Yeah. My corner, so we just
So please educate me, man. How do you guys go about giving guys competition experience, seeing as you're the only ones over there?
Well, yeah, you know, we set it up, you know, as a club. You know, I can only really speak about the most recent ones. You know, there's been a few, and then I have to go back into history. But I'm just talking about club-based competition. It all started from club-based competition. So I'll just speak on the ones I've experienced and I've been in. You know, I know I told you about the first club we all used to train at in VI, one small room like this, that we have some mats that we just put on the mat and we train at. We train with Abdullahi, who was a brown belt. You know, and he's got an interesting story, how he learned too, but that's for another day. And then, you know, we organize in-house club competitions there, you know, where we just, you know, compete with ourselves. So I've been for one. You guys had one like this in Abuja, the choke grappling tournament. I competed in that one, you know, and I got to see how everything was organized. Then last year, I also had choke grappling here in Lagos, you know. Rebirth era, as we were we used it to launch the gym and create awareness. So we had to do something that make people, it's very difficult to explain jiu-jitsu to someone that has never seen it before, you know. So we use that as a tool to show people, you know, to demonstrate, like a demonstration with the tournament. So we had choke grappling tournament. And you guys can catch it online too. I can share the link with you. We posted.
Please share that with me.
Okay, so I will do that. You know, we posted some fights online. So it was really nice that those kind of competitions. And then when Nest Nigeria came in, we also had a club competition too to launch, you know. So those are the kind of competitions we have, you know, but nothing real big like how the AKO is. But we aspire that we'll be doing things like that, because grappling, this submission grappling, I don't think anybody's really, really doing it, and we're ready to really be the forerunners of it. You know, it really was well attended. A lot of people came, and we have fighters, grapplers, judo guys, national champion guys, you know, and it was a very, very nice experience for us, you know, how would I just call us, amateurs or, you know, hobbyists. We're not professional athletes. We're just hobbies. And, you know, I try and tell people that this jiu-jitsu thing, if you even know it just a little bit, you'll be able to roll with a professional athlete like a wrestler. I know people don't believe me, and I showed them. Mm-hmm. I showed them. We just there competing with these guys, real-life competition, and it was savage. Mm-hmm. A lot of people slammed. It was lovely. You know, check it out. But we really did really great. Our guy got to the semifinals, but because of our weight distribution and weight categories, the last two guys that ended up in the finals were not quite the same weight. You know, so I know you really should watch it. Watch it. So those are the
questions. I will.
And of course, we're still trying to have one this year, right, Toby?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're having one this year.
Yeah.
I want to be doing it on October 1st.
Every October 1st.
Yeah?
Beautiful.
So that's what. Yeah, and so this time around, we want to get in some grapplers from, you know, other African countries, and maybe even this time around have guys come through.
Yeah.
Okay. Strong grappling, make it big out here because people are
beautiful, really man.
Yeah.
You said a couple of things that I have to highlight. One of them is that it is, it's the missing link in martial art. Proper grappling knowledge, just proper, just basic fundamentals. Like we don't even have that. Compensate with other aspects of their game, whereas if you just plug this, if you just develop the Brazilian jiu-jitsu side of your game, it's your competition so much higher. So I'm really happy, Niger, you guys just focusing on this specific thing. I mean, I spoke, and I know that I'm happy to see that you guys also have a striking, but having a school that is just
dedicated
and wrestling, that's just something that nobody else has. Yeah, that's dope as hell.
That's what we're doing. We're doing that shit nobody else has done.
Yeah. I love that. That actually dare to be great. So if that, I might as well take bridging word. So I'm curious to know, the day it is a business, what's your experience like, interested? And another thing that I'm curious to know about is, you know, jiu-jitsu style training, you do a lot of these drills before and after that many people in Nigeria and Africa aren't used to. We're used to using weights to do our strength and conditioning. Now I'm sure you've brought in different systems of training. How are people taking to this?
Well, I train like different kinds of training. I've lifted weights, I've done the gym, and you know, I came to one realization that I'm sure a lot of people that train, I mean, they get to a point where they start thinking, oh, is this my kind of training? Is it functional? What can I do with it? I've got all these muscles, I have all these endurance, I'm not an athlete or anything, it's not like I'm a boxer. What am I training? And then maintaining that level of fitness. So people in general are looking for some kind of a lifestyle to, you know, practice that keeps them fit, you know, and the training is functional for what they are training for. I don't know if you understand me. So they are.
I'm with you, bro.
They are looking for something like this. So all those drills you're talking about is all a different kind of training. It's all a different kind of training. You're not going to be used to it at first, but it's also functional for what you're practicing. So I have to train for jiu-jitsu. I don't just have to train for training's sake. I train because I live the jiu-jitsu lifestyle. So if I don't do this, my jiu-jitsu doesn't get better. And when I roll, I have bad days. I don't want to be having bad days. So this is my lifestyle. So that is the jiu-jitsu lifestyle I am hoping to promote. And people should try it. It's great. There's nothing like it. And you will never have to do any kind of training again. Just keep doing it. And you can do this for a very long time. You can do this for a very, very long time. You can do this to your old age. So I'd like to really encourage everybody to really, really try this jiu-jitsu thing. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, up until after my second fight, the hardest days in the gym for me were the wrestling days. I was taken out of my element the most. Those were the days that you have to be on your back, you have to wrestle some guy off the wall, somebody's trying to take you down. And then, like, before fights, we would do 1 minute, we would do no 3 minutes with five different people with 1 minute rest in between, and they're all trying to take you down, and your job is just to stay upright, and if you can reverse the takedown, you earn your rest earlier. And I remember that it used to be the most I hated those days of training, because they would push me the farthest in my mental training. Like it would really push me farther than my striking. It would push me farther than my strength and conditioning. All of this just to say, to buttress your point and to say that jiu-jitsu is that next level. Like once you start to work on your body, you start to fix your imbalances, you start to see that, oh, I'm immobile here, I can't do this, I need to be comfortable on my back, comfortable with someone heavier than me. It is that next level. And yeah, more people should try it. But I'm just experience with getting people into that has been like, because Nigeria, our people as a whole can be very close-minded when it comes to new info.
Yeah.
Thoughts.
In my experience, you know, around here in Lagos, most people have never heard of it. And some people have heard a little about it. Some people are not sure whether it's karate or is it a kind of. So I can't be explaining. I just have to tell them to come and see. And when they come, they leave with a different feeling. You know, they're like, and you know, it's not for everybody. You know, I can understand it if you just see it and you're like, I don't think this is for me. It's not for everybody. Mm. But if you're the kind of guy that likes this type of shit, you like rough play, you like this thing, because it will just like, it'll blow your mind. You'll have just, it's very hard to explain it. So that's why we have this. And all that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. So Toby, please, can I ask Toby a question, please? Yeah, so Toby, regarding putting this together as a business venture, what's your experience been like?
I mean, it's stressful.
And I want you to give me as much detail regarding that stress, like what's your own individual, because you're there's nobody else that is trying to do it like this, like specifically tailored for jiu-jitsu, for MMA. And I just want to know, like, what have you paying rent, like getting a space, electricity management, give me the details. Like I want to know, because I'm a Nigerian and I struggle with all this stuff, so tell me.
Funny, when you mentioned electricity, we all looked at each other, because that's literally the, like, I would say that's the biggest focus is just keeping the lights on, because especially even the way the gym is set up is not designed to work without electricity. Like it's not a very type of, so we need lights constantly as long as we're on. I mean, the location was actually the easiest part, really. It wasn't even getting the location wasn't that bad. But just making sure that things run, making sure that people know, like, where it is, what is happening, dealing with the general. I mean, I guess it's something that people who run any business in Nigeria, it's just general loitering of Nigerians, like, just gathering in front of the building and just making it not seem like there's, like, a business going on inside. You know, that's something that happens, that I feel happens a lot in Nigeria. Just sitting around on the streets. Yeah, I mean, mostly it's just, it's actually not, I don't know how to describe it. It's really just dealing with Nigeria, I guess. It's the best way I can put
that's,
it.
You see how something so simple efforts to come up with, but at the end of the day, the answer still became simple. It's just like, I'm dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, It's basically what it is. Just the usual stuff. But yeah, I mean, got building, keeping it running. Of course, getting more people to be aware, I think, is our new big challenge. Is like raising awareness is really our objective now. Many people, even the ones who come through, don't even necessarily even know what it was that they came through for. They just kind of maybe see. And they're like, oh, can you teach me how to do UFC type of thing? And then just take it from there. Like, yeah.
Okay, but that come through. Like when I say professional athletes, I mean aspiring fighters. I'm guessing guys that want to compete on like AKO or they want to fight on the regional circuit. So what's that been like?
I mean, as Kaleva pointed out before, you know, you get a lot of guys who
the spirit, I guess, is there, ideally. Like, you would say that there's spirit there, but they don't necessarily know enough to function on, like, that kind of world stage. So there's a lot of guys that need a lot of more training. Like, their heart is in it, I suppose, but their skills are not necessarily up to par just yet. But, you know, they keep training and they'll get there. Like, as long as
they will. Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
guy who already, like, already knows what's up, probably has already been in a few fights and is in Lagos and then wants to train, needs a safe space to train, and then they come through as well. You have those guys. I'll say those are the two, in terms of professionals, those are the two groups of people that will get the most. People who are already fighting and then just coming in to train, and then people who like to do it but still have somewhere to go
to get there. And okay, so do you have plans to sponsor athletes? Is that something you're thinking about?
Absolutely. Okay. Like I said, once we're confident in you that we can put you out there and know that, okay, you're gonna do the name of the gym good, you're not just gonna go there and they'll brush you, like that kind of thing. When we're ready, like, we'll send guys out, we'll sponsor them. I mean, if they have to go to other countries, we'll send them there too.
Okay, because, you know, the thing is that one of the things I'm really invested in is the development of the sport. I don't really care much for accolades or how big your show is, to be honest, at this point in my life anymore. I'm sure, just from hearing you speak, I'm going to make an assumption about you, and I'll state that now. If I'm wrong, then correct me. Can we do that? Okay. So one of the things that I've learned when you just being in combat sports long enough is that you get very jaded with the, for lack of a better word, bullshit that is just innate with everything that comes up with the sport, from the injuries, health and safety, full of understanding regarding what their leverage is, how their career path is developing. Like, there's just, it's such a, across the board, anytime anything you touch in combat sports, if you look and see how the pie is made, you will likely get really discouraged if you stay around it long enough. The knockouts lose their luster after a while, and eventually you have to ask yourself, why the hell am I really doing this? Do I want fame? Am I doing it because I care about it? And if I care about it, then what am I doing? So what I'm trying to say now is, I'm assuming that you are somebody who has been jaded, and the reason I'm saying this is because of the way you voiced certain things, like your opinion about certain things, and I respect that, because it means that I can approach you with my guns blazing. I don't have to, because some guys, when you're talking to them about combat sports, you have to talk to them because they are in the love. They're like, oh shit, man, I'm happy. Like, look at this knockout. Some people are like that. Guy, your phone is doing magic. What's happening on the screen right now? Did you just see that? Your phone had like a thumbs up animation just come up. Your camera. Yeah, I don't know what happened. But anyway, yeah, just to cut all of that short. So I'm going to approach you. I'm going to ask you about certain things that I typically wouldn't ask the regular MMA head, because it's clear that you're thinking about the sports deeply. So regarding your partnership with Rebirth Era self defense and martial arts, did I get that right?
Well, it's Rebirth Era Fitness and Defense Club, really. It's
Okay, Fitness and Defense Club, Rebirth Era Fitness and Defense Club. How did you guys navigate getting an instructor to Nigeria, a black belt, getting a foreigner to come in? How do you figure out getting the right eyes to possibly invest, partner? I know nothing about it, so I'm hoping you can educate me and I can learn a bit about how that came to be.
Well, I mean, I'll say that, like, the thing that this whole thing has taught me is that any business really is as good as the people you have around you. So even though it was, like, my initial ideal dream to get, like, black belts to come to Nigeria, when I first tried, because I first tried from the US, and nobody wanted to come here. Like they just weren't that. But it was actually Udi really that that knew Nest. He knew the Nest guys from Abu Dhabi, and he was really pushing them to come and everything. And then he told me about it. I was like, fucking, let's do it. Absolutely. Really, I'll say stresses of getting it done. Udi is mostly the guy who I would say linked that chain between Nest and I. I just had to keep doing what I was already doing, basically. The ground legwork, I suppose. I mean, it happened pretty able to come to terms. We found somebody who was willing. We also had to find somebody who is willing to come to Africa. Yeah, that can speak English, willing to come to Africa for like a long period of time and leave his life behind, basically. Found guy, Pedro came down, he's solid. His English is good to talk to people, at least it's good to train. And yeah, we've just been taking it since. So as long as nothing weird happens, it should be fine.
So where does he stay? Hello?
Okay. Sorry, I think we disconnected for a second.
Yeah. I was saying that. So where does he stay? What's his accommodation like? How do you, can you hear me? Hello? It looks like I lost my guest briefly, guys. Let's give them a second. They'll probably come back on soon. This has been a chaotic show to put together, but we're getting it done 1 minute at a time. All right. Yeah. can you hear me now?
Yeah, I see.
Aha. So Pedro, now your instructor, right? Where does he stay? How do you figure out accommodation? Like, how does he move around?
I'm providing accommodation for him.
Okay.
That is easy for him to be able to get to. And back without having to be spending on Ubers and all that. And I mean, he's a solid guy. He can take care of himself. He likes Nigerian food, so he moves around himself and does everything. He just stays, I mean, he's a homebody mostly, so he stays, likes staying in his room. But we would have invited him for the podcast, but I don't know if his English is solid enough for this meeting. So we just decided to.
And the good thing is that I'm happy that we've at least established a base, because I would like to speak with all of you individually on specific things regarding everything, regarding BJJ and MMA. Like you now, I want to pick your head on the business side of some things, but not right now, because I also have questions for Udi. And then Kelevra said some really interesting things about MMA, about striking, that I wanted to get his thoughts on. Are you frozen again? It looks like you were frozen for a bit. Hello? Can you hear me? Hello, can you guys hear me?
I'm going in and out, but I'm able to hear what you're saying, more or less.
Okay. All right. So I have I can hear you. I have one question. I'm going to try to end this. Oh, it looks like we lost him again briefly. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sorry that you have had to experience so many technical difficulties in one afternoon. This is what happens when you're trying to do something that has never been done before. You encounter challenges, logistical and otherwise. So what I'm thinking is, I have a question on the screen right now from our longtime viewer, Wavy Jones, and I would like to put that question on the screen. Hello, guys, let me see. Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me clearly now?
I can hear you.
Okay, so while you were speaking earlier, right, there someone asked a question, and I think because we're having all these technical difficulties, what I'm going to do, please, can I get a verbal agreement with you guys that I'll get all of you individually on the podcast on separate days? So I'm going to start with you, Udi. I'll get you on so that you can talk about jiu-jitsu specifically, the training. Then Kelevra, so that he can talk to me about striking. And then I want to talk to Toby about the business and just the, everything that has gone into getting this together. So do I have all of you? Do I have an agreement with all of you that individually I'm getting all of you on the podcast? Hello, can you guys hear me? Oh my days, man. Can you guys hear me? Okay, thumbs up. All right. So there's a question on the screen that I want you to end this a bit prematurely because we'll have
viewers.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Having all these technical difficulties, one of our viewers posted a question, and I want you guys to answer. When you answer that question, we'll end on that note. But the reason I'm saying that is because I want all of you individually on the podcast. So I'm going to get you, UD, first. Possibly, if you're free Wednesday evening, we can hop on. We can make an appearance on the podcast. And I want to talk to Kelevra and I want to talk to Toby. So please, do I have an agreement with all of you that all of you will be individually featured within the next week? Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Yeah. All right. So this is your question. So thank you very much for that. And this is the question. What is the effect of BJJ training and knowledge on the average Nigerian mindset? Wavy Jones, a viewer, just asked. So that's the question. I'm sure you can see it on the screen. So that's what the viewer wants to know.
The mindset. Well, I don't know. The best thing is, I'd say it's a lifestyle, you know. You just have to adopt the lifestyle. I don't know what's going to do to your mindset, but I think to me, it's like stress relief. You know, just imagine there's so much damn stress everywhere. People are always frustrated about something. But when you train jiu-jitsu, in that time, when you're on the mat, all that goes away. You're not even going to be thinking about any problems. You have financial, romantic. There's nothing that is worse that can be happening to you than those things that are happening on the mat. No one's going to understand this. You know, there's nothing like, so you're almost going to die there. And if care is not taken, you understand? But you're like enjoying this thing so much that you're nothing like this. Yeah, you're not going to have any stress. I see people screaming in traffic. People hit my car. I can't even, I'm just tired. That's like what I think it will do for the mindset. It's going to come. I don't think you're going to have bothers. Nothing's going to frustrate you again. You'll be really, really cool. Yeah. And then at the same time, you know, you're confident. You're confident that, you know, I don't think I've ever really used it in a real fight or like defend myself. People see me and they don't even really want to try. And they don't even know anything about jiu-jitsu. But I'm confident that if it happens, it will come out. Because it's not something I'm carrying around in my mind, it's in my body. So I know it will come out. And that's how it comes out when I'm in competition. That's how it comes out. I don't even know what happens. I have to watch the video to see all the things I did. So it's an amazing thing to get yourself into, you know? So I think, yeah, it's good for the average Nigerian mindset.
Thank you very much. I think that was the most beautiful answer you could have given to a very difficult question. So well done. All right. And you know what I'm going to do? So I'm going to confirm now. Do I have you on the show on Wednesday, Yudi?
Wednesday, huh?
When Wednesday. Are you free? Give me a day. Just give me a you give me a day. We'll talk about this. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry that you had to experience all these challenges today. It was not our fault. This just happens to be the reality that comes with living in Nigeria. Stuff just gets broken. So, on that note, we have enough information to at least we've touched base with the guys in Lagos, the Nest Niger BJJ guys and Rebirth Era guys. I'm here. At least now I know what they're doing, and we can spread their mission as far as we can. I think combat culture, I got notified that we reached about 23,000 people last month alone. So if 23,000 people can hear that there's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school in Lagos and it's being run by the most important thing that Toby highlighted earlier, is being run by solid guys, by smart guys that can really help you elevate your lifestyle and training, then I think that's a message worth promoting. Everybody should hear about that. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking with us through all the challenges. I promise to get UD on the show again. I promise to get Toby on the show again. I promise to get Kalevra, their striking coach, on the show again. And it's going to be a good one. This has been Combat Culture Africa. And I'm glad to have had Nest Niger BJJ and Rebirth Era Gym on the show. All right. Till the next one, I'll see you guys later.
So mean, I make medicine sick. That's bad.
This is combat culture.